ask you something before we start. Do you remember your first car?
My first car? I've only had one car here in Singapore.
Oh, yeah. That old Mercedes.
Yeah, it's the same car.
Do you remember how much you paid for it?
The last COE, I paid $33,000.
Yeah. Okay.
Which seemed expensive then, but on hindsight now, it seems like a good deal, right? Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, okay, so mine was a little Nissan March.
Okay.
Right? We paid about $55,000. It was 7 years left on it.
Right.
This was about 25 years ago.
Okay, 25 years ago.
So when I went back to the category for this car and I looked at it.
How much is it now?
If it were brand new, $102,900 just for the COE.
Okay.
But a lot has changed, obviously. The whole transport infrastructure has changed.
Yes.
The population has increased. But owning a car is definitely not cheap.
Yeah. Yeah. And to be fair, the public transport system is very effective. They've tried to make it such that we don't really need a car, you know. But of course, many of us still desire to have one.
Let me start with this fresh injection of 20,000. Now, the wording seems quite wide. It says up to 20K, no details on which categories, over the next few years, you know. Walter, why is that? Why is it so wide?
I'm going to take a step back, right, and look at what's the purpose of this 20,000 injection? What policy problem is it solving? The problem that LTA has been dealing with over the last couple of years is that we are at a low point in COE supply. But the reason why we're in a low point in COE supply is that basically when a COE is issued, it's attached to a car and people tend to keep their cars for the entirety of the 10-year COE period. What happens in Singapore is towards the end of the decade, you have a much larger than average number of COEs issued. That's the problem that LTA has been dealing with for the last couple of years. We're in the low part of it. And the problem is there are no good solutions to breaking out of this cycle. So the solution they've already tried in the last couple of months has been this idea of cut and fill. They take COE quota belonging to cars which are guaranteed to get scrapped over the next few years because they are on the 5-year non-renewable extended scheme, right? And so they've been taking those COEs and bringing it forward. But evidently, they must have concluded this isn't aggressive enough. And so I think that's where part of the idea behind this additional 20,000 comes in. It is a pool of COEs which could be used to, in my view, perhaps move faster in terms of the filling, right? Because cut and fill is very limited, but you could move a bit faster of this, fill more in 2025, 2026 when you actually need more of the impact to be, and balance out the supply over the years. I think the other thing to consider is, can we actually have a larger volume or number of vehicles in Singapore? Can we manage that? And historically, that would have been a very dangerous thing to do because we didn't have the tools to manage surges of congestion very well. We had the ERP system, but it was very inflexible, right? You only have those gantries in the town area, some of the expressways. But with ERP 2, which is now being rolled out to all of the vehicles, we will have, when it's implemented fully, a much more flexible means of dealing with congestion hotspots. And I think that gives the planners some confidence that if you can expand the overall number of vehicles, you will not destroy, you know, movement of cars and so on in Singapore.
So overall, we are going to see an increase in the number of cars being allowed on the road.
Yes, so that's the projection, because this 20,000, from what we have heard so far, is not being taken from supply in the future period. It's going to increase the overall, permanently, the overall number.
So in other words, we're adding 20,000 on top of whatever else has been calculated.
Okay,
already.
So in Singapore, cars are deregistered, right?
Yeah.
And then you free up that amount. That could be 10,000, whatever, how many thousand people. And then there's people who give up their cars, right? There are people who give up their cars. They don't want cars. But there's population growth too, that there are people who want to drive. So Arthur, maybe you can come in, right? Do you see demand for cars still being high? You've been in the business for 11 years now. I always feel like there's pent-up demand for cars. The minute something goes down, COE especially, I feel like the showrooms will be packed.
Yes, you're correct.
So why is that?
Probably most of Singaporeans' dreams to own a car. Probably still.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe less the younger generation. Mm-hmm. They feel that public transport is pretty good already, so they don't need a car. But I believe people after their 30s, late 20s, probably they might want to own a car one day. And those that are in the market, You know, because right now there's so much things like social media and SG Karma is so easy for you to, you know, to browse through during your free time. It also adds to your desire to want to own a car.
Okay.
Yeah. Because in the past, like probably like 25 years ago when you owned a Nissan March, you probably flipped through Straits Times classifieds and you look through boxes.
That's
to,
true.
Yeah, and you and there are no pictures.
Absolutely.
Nothing to make you, you know, have the desire. Yes.
You can't look at like 20 pictures of the same car,
yes.
different angles.
Now
and
you
all
see
that.
All the people are hiring pro photographers to take photos of the cars, putting on SG Karma. So all these things will also add up to people wanting to own a car.
So there's always been demand, I guess. It's just a different stage of life. Because when you first get married, you've got to get the home first. But once you've kind of paying for the home, then you figure, okay, how can I get a bit more comfortable? And I have children now, so different needs require different resources.
Exactly. I mean, I got the car only because, you know, we had kids, right?
Yeah.
So it just seemed a lot easier.
Yeah.
You know, the last time there was an increase in COEs was between 97 and 2003. 10,500 COEs were introduced when the current ERP system was installed.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like there's a link to the ERP system, but we don't quite understand. So far, LTA has said that, don't worry, even with more cars, the ERP 2.0 can regulate traffic. How would more cars be better for me with 2.0? So what's the connection between
lots of
cars, traffic congestion, and the ERP 2.0, which is supposed to be better?
When you look at a very dense city like Singapore, what are your options, right? Your options are you can regulate the number of cars. We already do that. You can build more roads, but the more roads you build, the less livability there is for everybody, especially people who don't drive, right?
Yep.
Or you can figure out some way of regulating when people actually use their cars, and that is where ERP comes in. The idea is you can have more people in Singapore owning cars if you have a better way of managing how and when they actually use their cars.
Okay.
And that is where ERP 2 comes in.
Just to break it down a little bit more, with ERP 2.0, it might tell me even before I set off, hey, look, there's a huge congestion here. If you drive past this, you're going to pay like, I don't know, $5. So that might encourage
But the whole toll system is meant
to move elsewhere. Or not even drive.
But the whole idea is to sort of influence you to change your behavior so that you don't drive during peak period. You drive, you know, at a different time. You go to work an hour later.
Is that even possible? Like, most people drive during, to send your kids to school?
Yeah, it is possible, but it's only possible if you have some margin of drivers who are willing to change. Because not everybody can change, right? If you have some high-value business meeting in town, you're not going to change. But it's about getting those incremental drivers who could, you know, switch maybe their breakfast meeting or something to a lunch meeting instead. Those guys changing, and then you get a reduction in traffic loadings.
As a road user, sometimes I think of, if I have to go home from CTE, from let's say town back to Ang Mo Kio, I'll be hit by a $3 or $4 gantry. So I'll tell myself, I'll probably go somewhere and relax, like have one coffee, you know, probably go back later, or maybe find something to do in town or whatnot. So this also helps the behavior. But if let's say you're in a hurry, of course you have to go back.
Yeah.
But if you can plan ahead of time, I guess the whole idea is to nudge our behaviors, right?
Yeah.
I mean, same thing when my kids say, come and pick me at 6:30, I'm like, that's the worst time. I'll spend more time sitting on the road than, you know, getting there and back. So I say, you just go and stay on for another hour and then I'll come get you later, you know.
It always strikes me, especially on CTE, Arthur, it's during peak hours is the highest, right? Something like $6, $7, $8 or whatever. I'm not sure now.
Is
I don't
in the
take
morning?
In the morning.
$7, $8, yes.
$7, $8, right?
Yeah.
But it's still crowded.
So maybe when it gets to $10, it won't be so crowded. I don't know. But the point is, it would just keep going up
so
in price,
right? It's just meant to be a better system, is that what I'm saying?
Yeah, so, you know, thinking about the CTE example, yes, it's right now, you know, it costs quite a lot to go in the CTE in the morning. But when you look at the average travel speeds on the CTE, it's still maintained within the target band that LTA has for, you know, kind of maximizing throughput. And I don't think you would actually be getting that kind of speed on the CTE during rush hour if we had zero pricing at all on it. You would have something much closer to, you know, maybe like KL or something like that where, you can go on the expressway during rush hour. There's no extra toll beyond what they usually charge, but it's so painful, right? So it's a bit of a difference.
Yeah. Let's get to prices. Do you guys think that, you know, once the LTA releases these extra COEs, it'll have an impact on prices?
If you look at what LTA's objective is in this, I want to be clear. Their objective is not to target a certain price level. Their objective is to try to stabilize the COE supply, to try to undo some of this boom and bust cycle we have, because that is not very, I would say, good for the economy to have this extreme swing in COE prices and COE supply. Sure. It's because with all these, you know, swings in pricing, you induce a lot of behavior from car buyers, businesses, and so on to try to time the market, to try to second guess what's going to happen. And, you know, I don't think that makes a lot of sense. So their objective is to stabilize supply. But if they wanted to do that, my opinion would be it would be more sensible for them to target the earlier part of 2025, 2026 to inject most of the supply, because that is when stabilization makes a big difference. Then for the split between categories, my bet would be it would be distributed similarly to the current mix of vehicles in Singapore, which means that a lot of it would be category A, passenger cars.
Ironically, the 100,000 mark is something people have kind of almost gotten used to in a strange way, and one could say that's kind of stable in a crazy way.
Arthur, what do you think? Would it bring down prices?
As a car enthusiast, I hope it will come down. But it's anybody's guess. You know, I have, in this business for 11 years, I have no idea how this thing
you
works.
You can't tell.
Yes.
What would be considered, in this day and age now, a fair price where people will say, okay, yeah, that makes sense?
I think we had a good run during the 2018 and 2019 period, all the way up to 2020.
Was it what, 60s?
No, 30,000.
Oh.
30,000. Those were the best days.
I think on a week-to-week basis, you can't really predict COE prices. But on a long-term basis, when you look at the COE cycle, it's very consistent that you have lower prices when you've got better than average supply. That means end of the decade. And you have much higher than average prices when you are going through very low supply, like right now and last couple of years. So that is the long-term cycle. And actually, that is why it is important, I think, for the policymakers, LTA, to try to even out the cycle, because this fluctuation isn't great for, I think, business.
In that sense, actually, we're only in this shortage of supply for these few years, right? It is a transition, according to what you're saying, right? So why not just put in numbers each year to top it up a little bit and then kind of see how it goes?
This whole 20,000 injection, that's kind of the idea, right?
Okay.
It is to stabilize the low supply years and hopefully not to add fuel to the fire in years where you've got a lot of extra supply. But I think what's really going to be interesting is what will happen next decade. Because in the next decade, we will go back down to a low supply situation again just based on the low number of new cars that were registered over the last couple of years. And I think that's when we have to see whether LTA is willing to experiment with much more aggressive shoring up supply and maybe utilizing ERP2 and so on to allow that to happen.
So it's just a matter of timing, it looks like, right?
It's demand and supply. Literally demand and supply, isn't it?
Exactly. Okay, so another thing that I thought that we could clarify was the role of the private hire vehicles. Right. So, in the COE space. Now, the government has said that they are unlikely to be driving up the prices because of a lower share of COEs. But others say that these guys have a role to play in the prices. Now, Minister Chee Hong Tat has floated the possibility of a separate category just for them. Do you think that will make a difference to prices?
I think that will make a difference. Definitely, because I mean, I don't have the exact numbers of how many people are bidding for private hire, but I mean, it's just like it's adding into what the normal consumers and the normal road users in that same category. So I think if there's a separate category, probably it can create a better environment.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of the unhappiness about private hire vehicles eating into COEs, that's going to be worse when you have very low COE supply like last couple of years. Mm. And of course, we all know that because they're running a business and because they intend to utilize the heck out of the car, as long as they bet they can make it back in rentals, they'll be willing to bid for it, right? Unlike ordinary consumers like us. But I think this problem will also go away when there's higher supply, because it's not as if the number of vehicles that you want in your fleets and so on for private hire goes up magically in years where there's larger COE supply, right?
Yep.
I think it's going to be more or less fixed depending on when you want to renew your fleet. I would also add that there is one complication, I think, with having this special category for PHVs, and that is that today we allow PHVs to be converted from private cars and vice versa, right, pretty much at will, right? And if you wanted to have a special category, you would actually have to stop this kind of conversion. So I think that would be the additional complication.
Yeah, so like because a taxi is only a taxi.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. Because a lot of people, as we know, they use their private hire car for their own.
Yeah, it's the same as buying a car. You're paying installment. Yeah, I met up with a driver. I said, "Hey, what are you driving?" "No, I need a car, lah. So I rent, lah. You know, like $70 a day.
Yeah.
I fetch my kids to school. Then when I have free time, I just pick up some customers to make back the money, lah. So yeah, that's how, you know, that's how they are seeing this as a way to own a car as well.
But also to make money, right? So that's where the complication comes in, lah.
Yeah.
Because if they have to be in a separate category, then they have to choose, right?
Yes.
There have been arguments that maybe families, you know, should have a priority. Maybe once you have three or more kids, you get preference to buy COEs at a certain price, you know? Yeah. I mean, and we do want to increase our birth rates in Singapore. So why not, right?
So this whole idea that we need to clamp down on things like people owning multiple cars, or alternatively, giving families additional eligibility or discounts or whatever. It's been going around for a long time as well. I can see the appeal of these kinds of ideas. The problem with these ideas is not whether they are appealing or not. The problem is actually the implementation and the practicality of enforcement.
That's right.
Because if you talk about one of the ideas, a lot of people have said, oh, you know, all these rich guys shouldn't be allowed to have like five cars and clogging up, you know, five COEs. Then the problem, of course, is that, well, all these rich people have got friends and family. So what makes you think they wouldn't just get around it by having their friend, family, kids, and so on, just register one car under the name each, right? So that's one. And then for the families, I think there's a similar problem, which is that if you put it to, for example, let's say a large family, right? What would you rather have? Would you rather have this car we allow you to buy with a special discount, or would you rather turn around and sell that car or let somebody else rent that car from you and then profit from the difference? Well, some families say, oh, I'd rather have the extra money. And then that becomes, are you going to start penalizing the family because you caught them renting out the car they were allowed to buy at a lower price? I mean, implementation is kind of tricky here.
If I am in need of a car today, you know, whether I'm a young person or...
Well, you need to change your needs. That's a better idea.
What's my best, most prudent option?
I'm not a fan of EVs, but I feel that if you were to get by in Singapore, I think getting an EV is a good idea.
Why is it a good idea?
Because the cost of ownership probably might get a bit lower. Of course, you pay higher taxes and whatnot, but you don't need to pump petrol. Or if not, you know, another way would be to get a petrol hybrid vehicle, which they are very frugal, and I'll probably like, you know, just check out what are the PHB drivers, what are they driving?
Yes.
Those are the most efficient cars, like Toyota Sienta, you know.
It's all about the cost of running it and the maintenance.
And they're all in Cat A COE. Yeah.
And they're all in Cat A.
And they're Cat A?
Okay. Yeah, Cat A.
Okay.
What about leasing a car? I know a friend, he's got kids, but he said he's just leasing a car. You pay, I don't know, $2,000 odd a month for a car.
There are some people who probably, let's say, for short-term usage, and they're not willing to fork out the high down payment of 30% or 40%. Probably for short-term, they can do that because they know that if I buy a car, I down the money. I sell the car after like 3 to 4 years, the money's going to be gone anyway. Once they're leasing, they say it's problem free.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Car breaks down.
Yeah,
I just
car breaks down.
It,
just call them and they'll
give
me a new car. Yeah. You know, the tire punctures, they send to some workshop. You know, car breaks down, aircon no good, they just go to the workshop.
There's so many options now. 25 years ago, Steve, we did not have options like this. You know, now I could go to the HDB car park near me
and rent
and
the car
get
the
get-go, the day. Right. It's, you know, quite seamless, right? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, in that sense, I feel like the car light might work and maybe eventually calibrate the demand for cars.
Okay. But for now, it's nice to know that there are more COEs coming onto the market. I think overall, I can feel that. I can feel the you know, people going, oh, finally, some relief, some reprieve. If you're looking for a car, just weigh the pros and cons. Think about how badly you really need it. Because I got to admit, if I do the math, owning a car compared to taking a taxi everywhere I go all the time, it's still more expensive to own a car.
That's right.
You know. Okay.
Thanks to the team, Janaini Johari, Joanne Chan, Tiffany Ang, Saya Win, and To Yen Yun. Video by Hanida Amin and sound mixing by Ken Delbridge. See you next week.
Bye for now.